Section 5 of my Psalm number 2 notes in the back to the Psalm series. A few final thoughts to consider about this tremendous psalm. In the picture presented today, we are presented with an epic dispute between mankind and God. The rulers at a table, angered and shaking their fists at Jehovah. The threat of cutting ties to God being made. The people behind them euphorically staring off canvas towards something vain that they can only imagine. God above laughing and holding what they are seeking in derision. Christ, God's anointed, front and center, victor over sin and death, hand outstretched to be kissed and worshipped for what he's accomplished. What we haven't yet mentioned, standing to the right of and just behind Christ, indications of the saints, the few of Christ's anointed followers portrayed here. These are what the psalmist is calling there. These are the blessed, all they that put their trust in him. Friend, that is the place I hope one day to find all that have heard and read the glorious gospel of Christ's message. If all goes according to God's promise to Abraham, which I'm sure it will, there will be many spiritual, quickened, and blessed people from all nations following this triumphant king throughout all eternity, as many as the stars in the sky. Praise God. Reach to Christ now, my friend, and his hand and his ring will be there to kiss. Fall in behind him and serve and rejoice. I had said that this picture in Psalm 2 is a masterwork, as bold as all Bible doctrine, tightly packed into 12 vibrant colored verses. I think that you've gotten a sense how much doctrine a psalm such as this can portray and convey to its audience in so few words. In this series, we've only begun to appreciate this psalm's depth on the surface. We've only skimmed the surface of the doctrine that this one psalm covers, and yet we've got so many more psalms there to pick up on the rest of it. Not everyone views the world and its relationship to God as does this psalmist, but there again, neither do they see themselves as only being carnally minded. The thing is that if you try to interpret the Bible from the most common carnal view, you will certainly find it very confusing as to why God does the things that he does and feels about the world as the way the Bible says that he does. The carnal mind reads from this that this is an angry God, a jealous God that is trying to hold us back from whatever we imagine for ourselves would be better. The carnal mind sees no need for Christ, for Christ is simply a further means of God overbearing control. If the world is indeed raging, at least how God would see it, which I feel is the most important part. How does God see this? Well, if it is seen as indeed raging, this set of biblical doctrines we've been talking about very much explains why it is raging, why it is at enmity with God, and why God did what he did in establishing Christ, his son, to in fact do something spiritually rectifying to fix it. There are plenty of other scriptures left over to fill in the blanks and further support this. I do hope that you'll find this possibility interesting and that you'll look into the scriptures much further. I'm sure you'll be very convinced. So, as sometimes we do, let's go back through the psalm here, reread it here, and see what we've picked up out of it. Hopefully you've picked up a lot more than you first entered the day knowing. So Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.